Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Southwest will start retrofitting cabins in 2 weeks, creating extra legroom seating, and an ill-advised new bill would change the drinking deadline from 2 to 4 a.m. in some cities around our state. What a great idea. Even drunker people on the road in the wee hours of the morning. Those stories and more next in the news.
Our Smarter Travelers segment takes a break this week in favor of a Just One Man's Opinion piece at 11:25. The subject is how our history is being rewritten while we stand by.
The Real ID is coming in less than a month. If you don't have one or a valid passport, you may not be getting on a plane. At 11:35, we'll walk you through the process of getting a Real ID, tell you how to know if you need one, and get you ready for travel this summer.
Our Odds and Ends segment, coming up at 11:50, addresses the sudden lack of international visitors coming and going to the U.S. of A. and what the damage could be to our businesses.
Each week, we scour the travel landscape for the most interesting and informative stories to share with you. Here to make you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along. All right. It's a beautiful Saturday. I'm here in Sacramento. Sun's a-shining. And Mark's been out on a road with some Sports Leisure Vacationers. Kentucky Derby is just around the corner. So off to Lexington. To Kentucky, yep. To Louisville. Mark, tell us where you are and about the horse you bought.
Or not. welcome. Hello from the historic Brown Hotel in downtown Louisville, Kentucky, where the Kentucky Derby Festival always kicks off with a huge fireworks display called Thunder Over Louisville. That was scheduled to happen this evening. When you hear me say scheduled to happen, it's not happening because, unfortunately, they had a generational flood here in Kentucky, especially in northern Kentucky, about a week ago. And, of course, it takes the water a little while to work its way through the system. A lot of smaller towns, the capital city of Frankfort, still has some flooding. There's flooding here on the waterfront in downtown Louisville, which is ironically the place where many people would watch the fireworks display. So they proactively canceled it a few days ago, much to our disappointment. But we are here in Louisville. We've had a good time in Lexington. And we're learning all about the thoroughbred horse industry. And we visited Churchill Downs last night and did a tour. We did a couple stops yesterday on the Bourbon Trail. Tom, did you know that people can start drinking bourbon as early as 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning?
Well, you mean in Kentucky?
yeah. They have tours where they will take you to many of the distilleries. And, of course, you know, like most tour days, they start 9 o'clock or so in the morning. So yesterday, some of the folks in our group were sampling very famous whiskey by 9:30 or so. This was really fascinating. We went to, the distilleries that put the bourbon in the barrels and they age it for years and years and years. And it's a huge and very expensive procedure. There's a company here in Lexington that has figured out of scientists that has figured out how to age to get the flavor of a year's worth of aging in a barrel in one day.
Wow, boy.
Yeah, and they have won some awards. They are not very well liked by some of the traditional people in the community, but this could very well be the wave of the future. Experts have tasted their bourbon. In fact, they've won some awards for it. And are unable to their 5-day aged bourbon in with their process, with their unique process, and 5-year-old barrel aged bourbon, and people can't tell the difference. So it could be that the bourbon industry here in Kentucky could be due for a a real shaken up at some point here in the future, because that whole process is, like I said, is very expensive. So
amazing.
We have been out and seen some beautiful horses, some old Kentucky Derby winners, and we have really had an incredibly good time. Stayed in a couple of really wonderful hotels, the Campbell House in Lexington. If you're ever in Lexington, Kentucky, and you enjoy old school type accommodations, the Campbell House was one. And then here we are at the Brown in Louisville. If you've ever been to Louisville, this is really a nice hotel. At breakfast this morning, they had this most amazing buffet that I think I've ever seen. It looked like a Sunday brunch at a fancy place. And one of our travelers hit me on the shoulder as he walked out and said, "Boy, that was delicious. I can't wait for breakfast tomorrow morning." I've never, in all the years I've been doing this, I've never had anybody say, "I can't wait for breakfast tomorrow." So it's a really nice spot. If you enjoy, again, old school charm and luxury and incredible service, the Brown here in Louisville would be a good spot. We're the troops are out right now with Tyler touring the city, and we're going to the Muhammad Ali Center this afternoon, and then we have a big fancy dinner, unfortunately, without fireworks, on top one of the hotels here in town this evening, and we'll be headed back to Sacramento tomorrow. Louisville and Lexington, if you love horses and you want to learn about the thoroughbred horse industry, this would be the place to come.
Wow. All right. Sounds like a really fun trip. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. With it, here's Mark.
Yes, sir. Yes, sirree. It's been a busy week in travel. You know, sports travel has become a huge thing for many destinations. Two of them come to mind this week. The Augusta Regional Airport in Georgia is preparing for a surge of visitors for the Masters Tournament, with 30,000 passengers expected to come to Georgia by air. American and Delta have added flights. Meanwhile, Green Bay, Wisconsin is gearing up to welcome NFL draft attendees. So we're talking millions of dollars into the local economies as a result of these events. Of course, the Masters is every year. The NFL draft is every year, and Green Bay, Wisconsin has decided that, heck, they're the football capital of the country, and they welcome NFL draft attendees and make it kind of a headquarters. So it's something, and there are one or two, Tom, football fans in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Just
yeah.
One or two.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I saw a little bit of the Masters on TV when it started up on, I think it was Thursday, for first round. And, man, there are a lot of people on the all around the greens, and they're on the watching the players. It's amazing how many people show up. I mean, you watch a golf match on TV, there's always a crowd, but at the Masters, it's off the hook.
The little place we toured yesterday afternoon, Churchill, little race track here in town called Churchill Downs, will have upwards of 150,000 people on May the 3rd when the when 20 horses run for the roses here in Kentucky. So, yes, it is big business. This Derby Festival goes on here in Louisville for a total of 3 weeks. Buffalo and Niagara tourism officials are starting to feel the impact of the Trump tariffs. Tourism leaders in Buffalo and Niagara Falls, remember these are cities up on the Canadian border, are seeing a decline in Canadian visitors. They typically account for up to 40% of the area's tourism. You can also bet that people crossing the border the other way have a huge impact on Canadian tourism dollars intake. But anyway, that we're already seeing some fall off there. We'll double back to that subject later on in the program. Some of the March numbers are in now, February and March numbers for tourism visitations, and there are some significant fall off. We'll talk about that later. The CEO of U.S. Travel says, speaking of sports travel, the U.S. is not ready for the World Cup. He says that the U.S. is behind the eight ball, with insufficient action being taken on reducing visa backlogs and improving visitor screening technology and efficiency. One of the things we learned in Washington, D.C. During the advocacy day for the travel industry a couple weeks ago is that there are two issues here for international visitors. One is getting an appointment with U.S. customs officials in their home country so that they can get an application for a visa, passport, whatever. The other is when people actually get to the country, In some cases, the delays can be many hours at customs entrance stations. And so that we are the head of U.S. Travel is asking Congress to appropriate funds to make sure that those issues are addressed before people come here. Because imagine somebody's coming from a foreign country with their pocket full of money to spend here in our country, and they're planning on staying 2 weeks, and the first thing they do is it takes them 3.5 hours to get through customs. You know, what kind of attitude do you think they might have towards our country? So it's important to put our best foot forward first. These are people who are coming into country legally with legal documentation, and they represent a huge boost to our economy. So we want to make sure that they can get in and out of the country if they have the proper documentation easily. And to that line, a couple of people in Congress, senators from Kansas and Washington State, have reintroduced the bill to provide transportation funding for both the World Cup in 2026 and the Olympics in 2028. Here's a story we talked about in the headlines. A California bill proposes a 4 a.m. hospitality zone situation. The state legislature will consider a bill to create hospitality zones where bars and restaurants could serve alcohol until 4 a.m. on weekends and state holidays, with support from the California Chamber of Commerce, of course, support from the California Hotel and Lodging Association, California Travel Association. They're trying to get people back into the downtowns around the state. I just want to just take a second here and say this is a horrible idea. Frequently, people who are going to the airport for 5 and 6 a.m. flights are on the road at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning trying to get to the airport. What we do not need is a bunch more people who are even drunker than they would have been at 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock driving around on our roads. And to that point, a groundbreaking analysis by a group called Alcohol Research and Alcohol Justice has a report out on, and they already say that alcohol-related driving fatalities in California have risen sharply in recent years. They have the statistics to prove it. And so they are saying this is just an absolutely horrible idea. We'll keep an eye on this if it makes any progress. But I can't. Tom, do you have any thoughts on this? Maybe I'm just out to lunch here.
I think you're spot on. It is a little excessive, and you're absolutely right. You know, we allow them to start drinking earlier, maybe, but not later. We got to push the ride share. You got to get a ride sober. Don't be on the road after you've been drinking. I know you want to preach it. We want to preach it and have people adhere to it. But I don't know. I'm not in favor of it. The situation in Sacramento and areas is that they want to be able to allow people to. There's some concert venues in the downtown area, and they want to allow people to be able to take their beer and their beverage out on the street. Like they do in Europe, you know, walking down the street in Europe with a beer in your hand is like no big deal. So, you know, that one, I'm kind of okay with that, but I think this 4 a.m. curfew is a bit much.
Travel industry is scheduled to hit 11% of the gross domestic product. That's all this money that's spent in the country by 2035. It's expected to contribute $11.8 trillion this year. Doesn't say what percentage that is, but 11% of all the business transacted in the country within a decade. And the travel industry will employ 1 in 8 people by 2035. Southwest Airlines has started retrofitting their aircraft. They aim to complete more than 800 of them by year end. The upgrades include premium seats with extra legroom and larger overhead bins. Those new big ones where you can put the bags on their side and get way more suitcases on board. And finally, here's something we don't normally talk about, things for travel advisors on the program. Travafee, I think is the way this is pronounced. This shows you how much experience I have in these kinds of programs, has announced the new travel agent program to support travel advisors who have entered the industry within the past year. So if you are new to the travel industry and you are a travel advisor, these guys have all kinds of programs available. It costs you $25 a month. But there is a link at travelguysradio.com. We make no commissions or anything off of any sales for anything that we talk about on the program. But I thought that I would put it up there in case we had any new travel advisors or people who might be thinking about pursuing that line of work. Why, that would be an excellent way to start your education. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Check us out at travelguysradio.com. And a quick reminder, you know, crab season is still active. And at Rudy's Hideaway, it's always active. If you need crab for your special event, you can find it at Rudy's Hideaway, right there off of Highway 50 in Hazel. Rudy's caters. They have a great catering department, hamburgers and hot dogs and filet mignon and lobster right to your event. Great. You can bring the great taste of Rudy's, show up right at your doorstep, or better yet, you could have their gourmet food truck, Rudy's on the Roll, park in your driveway or park at your local park. And the food truck specializes in those lobster rolls and filet mignon tacos. And, of course, when you hit the restaurant, be sure to take advantage of the Travel Guy Special. Available 6-ounce lobster tail with the fixins for $29.95. And don't forget, what's his name? That guy on the other side of the microphone there. Mark's favorite.
Oh, yeah, the guy who likes the clam chowder.
That's the guy. Always there with the clam chowder. Rudy's Hideaway, just off Highway 50 and Hazel. It must be Saturday morning between 11 and 12 because we are the travel and entertainment guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Thanks for coming along. This particular portion of the program usually is our Smarter Traveler segment, but we're going to set it aside today. Mark has, over the many years, has done a piece called Just One Man's Opinion, particularly when something of real importance pops up that he's passionate about, and in many cases it's something that we are as well. And this one has to do with our history and how it could be being rewritten while we stand by. Mark, you want to tell us what's on your mind?
Yeah, I don't want to get this. I don't want to turn this into a political program every week, but there is something going on here that is, I think, is really of importance to travelers. One of the reasons that people go places and see things is because of history. They go to, you know, we go to Philadelphia to celebrate the country's birth, and we go to Washington, D.C. to learn about our government and about our history. I mean, we go to New York City to see the Statue of Liberty. There are lots of places in California that are historic and that people enjoy going to learn about as part of their travels. And so history is really an important thing. And some of the folks who have come into government here with this administration have set off something that may very well be an overreaction, but it's something that we all need to be aware of so that when it happens, we can overreact back and make sure that our history is protected. Now, let me give you a couple of examples here. A few weeks ago, the website for Jackie Robinson, the baseball player, who is the man who broke the color line in baseball, his Army story was taken down off of the Defense Department website. There was an article telling the story of Jackie Robinson and his time, and it was apparently removed in a purge of articles related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the outrage was so immediate and so strong from people that the story was put back up on the website within 48 hours. We have had the same issue with Navajo code talkers from World War II. These were Native Americans in the Southwest who helped the U.S. Defense Department create a code using the Navajo language, which was very effective and very difficult for the enemy to figure out. Information on their role in America's history has been taken down off of several websites. The Tuskegee Airmen, a group of black airmen from Alabama who in World War II fought very courageously to try to prove that they were worthy of equal rights in their own country. Marines at Iwo Jima who raised the flag. The information on these historic events in recent weeks has been taken down from National Park and other websites just recently. Information on the Underground Railroad, which was the way that people fled slavery in the South around the time of before and after the Civil War. There were some very famous people who helped them, including an abolitionist named Harriet Tubman. All of their information disappearing from National Park websites. Now, in some cases, again, because of the outrage, some of this stuff has been restored. Harriet Tubman's information is back up. Other information about the Underground Railroad has been restored. Now, whether or not these are bureaucrats who are overreacting to the situation or not, and I think you can probably sense a theme here with the Tuskegee Airmen, Jackie Robinson, Harriet Tubman, all of these people are people of color. So as someone who has traveled to New York City and been to the Jackie Robinson Museum and has traveled to Alabama and been to the Tuskegee Airmen's base, it would be a shame for people not to be able to experience these things. So here is my wisdom to you. Pay attention right now because things are changing. Some of these things may not matter to you or may not matter to anyone, and so change will get made. But in cases where change is important and history is being erased, it's people standing up immediately and saying this is not acceptable is causing it to be undone. So that's what's important here is pay attention when you see these articles about history being removed. And if it's important to you, stand up right now because it will make a difference.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, Mark, real quick here, we're almost out of time for this segment. What do you think is the best place to bring attention to someone about this?
Your local congressional offices, absolutely, immediately. Pick up the phone and call them and make your voice heard, and also sending notes in writing to those same offices.
All right, there you go, folks. There's your marching orders for the day, if it matters to you.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
For the last 46 years, Sports Leisure Vacations has been taking mature travelers from around this greater Sacramento area to great places. We not only take people to places far away, we take people to places close to home. If you're a mature traveler and you would enjoy going to see Broadway shows in San Francisco, making cultural arts outings within a few hours of the greater Sacramento area, then go to sportsleisure.com and you can find an entire array of great day trips, including shows and cultural events outings.
And a quick note, I was on the Sports Leisure website looking at all the different trips and things that were going on there. I was looking at specifically to catch a baseball game in June, and which I was able to sneak under the wire. But I want you to know, folks, there's lots of good stuff, but it goes real quick. So, you know, you look around, find something that suits you, and don't wait. If you want it, go ahead and let them know at Sports Leisure Vacations that you're interested, and they'll hook you up. This is how it is every year. It seems like since the pandemic got over, Mark, people are just so anxious to get out, go places, and do things. And it's nice that you and your company are able to accommodate. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, as we promised, it's time to go ahead and give you a rundown on the details on how to get your real ID. I know a lot of you have been planning on hearing about this. Mark, let's get started. First of all, have we posted some stuff on the travelguysradio.com to help assist?
We have. You can go. We have a whole list of Smarter Traveler items there, and you'll find the real ID tag there. And you could go right now as you're listening on the radio and go to it and follow along with us. But it is there if you are driving around someplace or you're listening to the show on the podcast during the week. You can go to travelguysradio.com and find a link that will help you get started. Let's talk about a few upfront things. When should you apply? Well, you need to apply now if you haven't already. If you are planning on traveling sometime in May, June, or perhaps the first part of July, there are lots of people applying right now. So if you don't plan, if you don't have immediate travel plans, there's no reason for you to have to rush and fight everybody else for space. So again, if you don't have plans to get on an airplane or go into a secure government office sometime in the next couple of months, you can wait to do this. If you are like me and you have travel in late spring or early summer and you don't have a real ID yet, then you need to attend to this. Now, they told us this, there have been deadlines. This law is 18 years old. So it's taken us this long to get here. And every time we've gotten up against the deadline, the first ones came pre and during COVID. They said, oh, well, you know, we need to push this back. And they've continued to do that. And in fact, a few months ago, Tom, they told us in a, there was a story sent out, a press release sent out that said, well, you know, if you don't have your real ID on May 7th, the TSA will just remind you that you need to get one and let you give you a grace period of 30 or 60 days or something like that. That has not been mentioned at all anywhere for the last month or so. So if they are still planning on a last-minute grace period, they're keeping playing their cards very close to their chest so that they can get people to – so they know that they're actually serious and that people need to go get this. So there could be, I suppose, a last-minute extension if they feel like the DMV offices are overwhelmed with people and not everybody can get their real ID or can get it back in time to travel. They're just saying right now that it's going to be a hassle to travel after May the 7th, or you might be declined at the airport. I'm sure we're going to get some more direction on that as time goes by. But for right now, folks, they're serious about this. And so you need to pay attention. You need to get a real ID. Unless you always travel with your passport. Your passport will serve as a real ID. So this is all about travel. So if you have a valid passport, then you don't need to do anything. If you're willing to use your passport for identification at the airport or to get in, like I said, to secure government offices, then you can use your passport because that is considered to be secure on that level. So how do you find out if your driver's license, if you already have a real ID? Many folks who have renewed their license recently have one. So take out your driver's license, and in the upper right-hand corner, Mr. Romano, you have a California driver's license, right?
I do.
Okay. So is yours a real ID yet, or do you still have an old school one?
No, I got the real ID when I had a birthday, years ago. Early on when the real IDs were coming out and it was time to renew. And I thought it would be absolutely insane to renew without getting the real ID at the same time. So I'm good
to
go.
You're a smart guy. The TSA tells us that approximately 60% of people are already using real IDs or passports. So we're already somewhat over the hump. Here's how to know whether or not your driver's license is already a real ID. Take it out. Look in the upper right-hand corner. There will be a silhouette of a bear there. If there's a star in the middle of the bear, you have a real ID. And just like the people who are going to use their passport, you can go outside and mow the lawn now if you want to, because the rest of this segment will not apply to you. However, if you do need a real ID, basically it's a three-step process. First thing you need to do is gather your documents. Now, you're going to need a number of documents in order to be able to apply. So you've got to get documents, and there's a checklist online, a real ID checklist, and it will tell you, in addition to your current valid U.S. Passport or passport card, or an original or certified copy of your birth certificate, there's a number of other documents that are not as common for people to have. But if you had one of those, then that would be valid in terms of clearing the ID bar for a real ID. So that's what you want to do. Does your current full name match the full name on your identity document? In other words, I'm Mark Allen Hoffman, and my last name can be spelled in a wide variety of ways. There are two F's and two N's, and you can do any combination of that. Look in the phone book, you would find Hoffman spelled in all kinds of different ways. So very important that your current full name match what's on your identity document. If the last time you got a driver's license, they misspelled it slightly and you went along with it, that's not good. So if you're using your birth certificate, then your legal name that you're using for your real ID has to be exactly the same as it is on that document. Does that make sense, Tom?
So far, so good. Now, do you need a copy of your birth certificate?
You do not if you have already some of the other. If you have a valid passport, then you don't need a copy of your birth certificate.
Okay.
And this, when you go online to the Real ID checklist, they've really done a pretty good job of laying this out, because I'm not real good at this stuff, and it came pretty intuitively to me. So you've got to get one of the documents off of the ID list, ideally a passport, but if you don't have a passport, a birth certificate or a certified copy. And then there's a list of other documents that some people might have, depending on their circumstances, that might get them to there. But that ID list is on the Real ID website. Then you're going to need two documents that you'll use as proof of California residency. So a utility bill or a cell phone bill is what they're preferring, and you need two different documents. So if you have your utility bill and your cell phone bill, bingo, you're in business. Records from any state or national bank, state or federal savings association, trust company. In other words, where is your money? Or an institution or entity that has issued you a credit card. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a credit card bill would work. Insurance documents, including medical, dental, vision, life, home, rental, or vehicle. Medical documents, and a document issued by a U.S. government agency. I'm not going to read all of these here. Mortgage bills, employment documents, tax returns. There's a lot of them. But you can see the list at the Real ID website, and you're going to need to get two of those. Okay, so you've got your first ID document, and then you've got your two that prove that you are that you have proof of residency. You can take pictures of these with your cell phone, and you can submit them online. And if you're someone that taking pictures with a cell phone is not something you're good at, call your grandson up and tell him to come over, or your granddaughter, and say, hey, I need some help with this. So, and then, like I said, then you're going to need to fill out your application online and submit those, attach those documents. So that's kind of where a little bit of the complicated part comes. You might need a little, some folks are going to need a little help with that. Maybe you've never done those types of things online. But it's not a terribly complicated process. Remember, we're looking here for a couple of bills that come to your house, or something from your bank, or your credit card bill, something like that. And then you're going to need to make an appointment and visit a local DMV office. That's right. You're going to have to go online, get an appointment after you have filled out your documentation and submitted it, and then you're going to get an appointment for a DMV to go to a DMV office. There is a link in the website that will tell you what the current wait time is at every DMV office in the Sacramento area. So you can check it out, and you can see appointment and non-appointment people, what the wait is. You can see, hey, if the DMV is down the street, maybe I don't need an appointment because there is no wait right now. But anyway, we recommend get an appointment, go into your DMV office. The process, once you get in there and your appointment time comes up, should only take a few minutes.
I see a hand go up. In the audience there, the question is, or first of all, the one thing that you can think about is you don't necessarily need to go to a DMV right here in Sacramento. if you find that there's one up in Placerville or Auburn, an outside area that might be able to get you in, you can go there, too.
Excellent.
The documents that you mentioned, Mark, that you upload online are, will be associated with you and your name and all of that. When you go into the DMV, they can pull it up. But what if you don't put them online? Can you take that packet of information and bring it with you to the DMV at your appointment time?
There is nothing, a great question. There is nothing I can see online that says that that would be an acceptable way to go. They've basically spelled it out 1, 2, 3. Gather your documents, complete the application online, and upload your documents. Visit a DMV office.
Okay.
So put your stuff together, send it to them, get an appointment, go see them. Bingo, they've already got all of your documentation in their records, so you're in business. So I would say that there may be a way to do that, but that's going to probably require a DMV online inquiry or a phone call. I don't see anything here that would lead me to believe that people can do that. Everyone, according to what is out here, everyone will have to go to a DMV office in order to do this, unless there's a way out, there's a hack. For a few people, if you are a member of AAA, some AAA offices are able to accept and complete real ID applications. So, if you're a AAA member, you might want to call your local AAA office and ask them if they are handling real IDs. And if they are, then you would not have to go to a DMV office. But not all AAA offices are processing real IDs. Members don't pay extra for the service. Non-members may pay up to $30. So that might be your hack. If you go online and the DMV says, oh, my goodness, there are no appointments available until after May the 7th, the deadline, or you can't get an appointment on the day when you can go and you're a AAA member, that might be your hack. Contact your AAA office. And to Tom's point about DMV offices being all over the place, AAA offices are also all over the place. So don't be afraid to call one in a smaller city surrounding the area and find out that, hey, they would welcome you with open arms.
There you go. Yeah, big secret there. I shouldn't tell you, but keep this between you and I, Mark. But the little DMV office up there in Placerville is hardly not very busy.
Uh-huh.
So,
all right. Well, that's why people listen to the travel guys. And remember to look at your license, because you may be 3 out of 5 people are already over this hump. And if you've got a passport and you're perfectly comfortable using that at the airport, don't worry about it. If you aren't traveling in the next few months, then don't fight the crowds. Wait a couple, 3 months, and then you can go about your business and do all of this, and you won't have to fight all the rest of us who are last-minute people. Okay?
Once again, this information chronologically can be found at travelguysradio.com. Good luck with that. I'm sure it'll come up again from time to time between now and May 7th. Is that right, Mark?
That's it. May 7th is the deadline. That's the day that you will need a real ID to board an aircraft.
And here again, don't forget now, if you have a passport, you can go ahead and use that for the time being and maybe get that real ID along the way. Based on the information that you talked about, if you've gone through the process of getting a passport in years past, the information that you used for that passport are very much in line with the same information you'll need for the real ID. It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, into our last segment for today's program. Don't forget, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find a link to all of our podcasts, including this one. And you can go back and revisit anything you missed, or if you missed a whole show, you can go get those too. Okay, Mark, it's odds and ends time. Let's talk about international travel, all of these.
Yeah.
What's going on from your perspective as somebody who is in the travel industry?
Well, of course, this is all about the tariffs, and it particularly is impacting our biggest visitor markets in California, number one, Mexico, number two, Canada. So we've succeeded in pissing off the Canadians something unbelievably, which is just, as I've mentioned before on this program, is really bizarre to me because they're incredibly nice people. And it seems like that, and maybe some of this is all bluffery, but it seems like that we should be able, if these people have been our good friends for a long time, it's the longest unguarded border in the world, we ought to be able to sit down with them and get their attention without going through all of this. And what all of this is causing is some big destruction in people who are traveling to the United States from foreign countries. California, for example, this is February arrivals data for California. It's important to know that starting in February of 2024, there was a 26% year-over-year increase of international non-resident international arrivals. As the year went on, that number tailed off a lot. It got down to where in January of this year, it was 3.2% over the previous year. Suddenly, all of a sudden in February, it's down 8, almost 9%. So for a nonstop ever since COVID, California has been seeing more year-over-year arrivals for every month. And suddenly in February of 2025, it, not only is it negative, it's down 9% year over year. So that's one out of every 11 people who came to see us in February of 24. We had that many fewer people. And again, the people who come from international countries to the United States spend a disproportionate amount of money compared to domestic travelers. You can say, well, you know, let's domestic travelers will take their place, but they don't spend as much money. And think about when you travel internationally and the amount of money that you spend getting there and once you're there and things like that. And for many cases, for many people, it's a one-time visit or a once-in-many-years visit. So Canadian travelers and Mexican travelers coming to California has dropped off dramatically. Why does that matter? A lot of people are in industries that are related to tourism. You know, you may work in a restaurant or a hotel, particularly if you are a border town. Niagara, we talked about Niagara Falls and Buffalo in the news having a great fall off. And indeed, that is already happening. So we are starting at people in Washington, in Bellingham, Washington, which is the largest city closest to the Canadian border, can already tell you that business is off. People in Fargo, North Dakota, which is the closest major city to Winnipeg on the Canadian side, can already tell you we're not even into the tourist season yet. And they've already noticing that people are not coming. And so this is a problem. International traveler in March down to the United States, all international travel down 11.6%. Visitors from Western Europe down 17%, Middle East 17%, South America 10%, Central America 23%, Mexico 23%. These are huge, huge, huge numbers, and they're going to have a tremendous impact on cities and towns and attractions and national parks and things close to the border that people from Mexico and Canada and that are close to the east and west coast where people enter the country by aircraft. Now, there is an upside to this, believe it or not, that I want to mention. There's a little bit of a hack to this. If 40% fewer people are coming from Canada into Niagara Falls, United States, into Buffalo, if you had a trip planned for that area, upstate New York, guess what you might find? You might find prices that are tremendously lower than what you might be expecting, especially if you were a last-minute person. You're kind of watching things. This could happen in California also. This could happen in Washington State, particularly as we get closer to the summer. So the benefit to U.S. travelers that are staying in the country to the fact that fewer foreigners are coming means that availability and, heaven forbid, pricing, which has gone bananas in the last few years, might begin to come down.
Well, there is a little bit of a plus within all of this negative. So if you, I think, could take Mark's advice, this may be the time, or plan that trip pretty soon. Okay, yeah. Mark, it looks like we're at the end of another program. We'll be back next week, my friends, with a whole nother basket full of stuff to make you a smarter traveler. Mark?
Absolutely. And from Louisville, Kentucky, home of the Kentucky Derby. It's been a pleasure to talk with you this morning. Remember to dance like nobody's watching, and we will join you next Saturday at 11 o'clock. Thanks for the pleasure of your time. Have a great week.